Hello, this is Wendy Bauer with the Decatur Herald and Review. This is the second half hour of our reading for March 23rd, 2020. We are going to begin with the death notices, starting with the funerals pending for today, Monday, March 23rd, 2020. Lloyd E. Elam, 81, of Lincoln, funeral scheduled for March 21st, Saturday, at Peasley Funeral Home in Lincoln. Anthony Lynn Tony Joyner, 64, of Springfield, formerly of Decatur, funeral scheduled for March 17, 2020, at Walker Funeral Service in Decatur. And continuing with the obituaries, Verna Lee Loy. Verna Lee Loy, 95, of Shelbyville, Illinois, formerly of Lakewood, Illinois, passed away on Thursday, March 19, 2020, in Cedar Ridge Health and Rehabilitation Center, Lebanon, Illinois. A memorial graveside service will be held at a later date in Green Hill Cemetery, Sullivan, Illinois. Arrangements are by Howe and Yackey Funeral Home in Shelbyville. Memorials may be given to the American Cancer Society, First United Methodist Church of Lebanon, Illinois, or Dallas Dog RRR, Rescue, Rehab, and Reform. Memorials can be mailed to Howe and Yackey Funeral Home, 415 North Broadway, Shelbyville, Illinois. Willie D. Jones, Jr. Willie D. Jones, Jr., 80, of Decatur, Illinois, passed away March 20, 2020, at Decatur Memorial Hospital. A memorial service will be private at Moran and Goble Funeral Home. Burial will be at Macon County Memorial Park. Memorials may be made to donor's choice. Anne Marie Yackel. Anne Marie Yackel, 74, of Blaine, Washington, passed away March 17, 2020, at Peace Health St. Joseph Hospital in Bellingham, Washington. She was born in Decatur on October 29, 1945. A larger gathering celebrating her life will be held at a later date when it is safer to do so. In lieu of flowers, a donation in Anne's name to the Juvenile Diabetes Association would be appreciated. Marilyn F. Gable. Marilyn F. Gable, 76, of Westerville, Ohio, passed away Thursday, March 20th, 2020. The family will hold a private graveside service on Wednesday, March 25th, 2020, at Harmony Center. Arrangements have been entrusted to the Barclay Funeral Chapels. A celebration of life will be announced and held at a later date at the Bradbury Free Methodist Church in rural Toledo. Donations to honor Marilyn's life should be made in her name to the Cumberland Backpack Ministry in care of Bradbury Free Methodist Church, 1224 County Road, 1050 North, Toledo, Illinois, 62468. Gregory Potrafka passed away March 20th, 2020. In these difficult social times, the family has no public memorial plans. Please consider the following memorials to Pilgrim Lutheran Church, Decatur, Illinois, or to Warren Park Fund, P.O. Box 211, Boody, Illinois, 62514. And please note that due to the coronavirus pandemic, all funerals and visitations are limited to 10 people. And continuing with local news, officers will not randomly stop people. Tony Reed writes from Decatur. Rumors that Decatur police are looking to pull drivers over to see if they are making non-essential journeys are just that, rumors, according to the city's police chief. Stories have circulated of drivers being pulled over and fined for contravening newly imposed statewide measures to limit non-essential travel in the wake of the coronavirus outbreak. No, absolutely not. We're not doing that, said Police Chief Jim Getz. We're not doing it, and we don't have time to do that anyway. Governor J.B. Pritzker issued a stay-at-home order that is in effect from 5 p.m. Saturday to April 7th. The order exempts businesses that are considered essential and still allows residents to go to grocery stores, pharmacies, gas stations, and on walks outside, among other destinations. Getz said his officers are following guidelines laid down by Pritzker's office and the Illinois State Police. Officers will not be proactively stopping drivers at random, he said, but they may question them about the nature of their trip if they've been pulled over for something else, like a traffic infraction, or if somebody has made a specific complaint about a person's behavior. The governor himself was asked about the rules during a press conference on Sunday. A reporter told Pritzker that some employers had begun issuing letters for workers to carry with them, explaining that they were out to do essential work. Pritzker said that is not necessary. Let me be clear, you do not need to have papers or permission from your employer, Pritzker said. Nobody is being stopped on the streets unless they are in fact seen to be directly violating the stay-at-home order, in which case a police officer or somebody else maybe just ask you to please go home, or are you in fact going to your job or going somewhere that is essential, to encourage people to do the right thing. There is no stopping people and asking for papers. Getz said it's in everybody's self-interest to follow the new rules and limit the spread of the virus. What will earn you a trip to jail is if the police get wind of an illegal, large gathering at your home. I saw something on Facebook where, since all the bars and things were closed, people were going to have house parties with 50 or more people, said Getz. Now, that defeats the whole purpose of what the governor has put in place. And so, if we find out you're doing that, we're going to arrest you for reckless conduct, and we're going to haul you to jail. And a synopsis of the stay-at-home order is listed in the sidebar to this article. Do, it's a list of do's and don'ts. Do, go to the grocery store or pharmacy. Do, order delivery or takeout from a restaurant. Do, call a plumber or electrician if needed. Do, go to the bank, post office, or gas station. Do, take a walk, run, or bike ride. And do, practice social distancing. Don't, buy more than you need. Don't, dine in at restaurants or bars. Don't go to the gym, salon, or barbershop. Don't travel for non-essential reasons. Don't visit a playground. And don't gather in groups. And next, Tony Reed writes, Macon County Jail releases some inmates. 17 nonviolent petty offenders have been released over the last few days from the Macon County Jail as corrections staff attempt to limit the risk of contagion from the coronavirus. No cases of the virus have shown up in prisoners so far, and Sheriff Tony Brown said he is being careful to strike a balance between public health concerns and public safety. We are trying not to incarcerate more people than we have to without good reason, said the sheriff. But public safety remains my number one concern, and we are not releasing anyone judged to pose a threat to the general public. The jail population as of Sunday night stood at 262, and there has been some widespread concern of the risks of coronavirus spread among large groups housed in close proximity. All over the country, sheriffs are taking a look at their jail populations and assessing risks. Sangamon County Sheriff Jack Campbell hasn't gone as far as any prisoner releases yet, but quoted this in the State Journal Register on Sunday, he said 20 nonviolent offenders had already been identified as candidates for potential early release. Sangamon's inmate population was the same as Macon County's, 262, but trending down from a recent high of 330. Brown said his jail had to be as prepared as possible to face the disease, and there had also been an upgrade of medical facilities. "We've been doing some work, and we now have 3 negative pressure rooms," added the sheriff. Negative pressure is a ventilation system used to control cross-contamination from one room to another. Brown also said his staff was working closely with Crossing Healthcare, the jail medical care provider, to safeguard inmates and see they are looked after when they leave. Crossing is doing a phenomenal job in making sure there is a continuum of care, Brown said. Both the sheriff and Decatur Police Chief Jim Goetz emphasized that taking steps to safeguard the jail's medical needs did not mean offenses and offenders meriting incarceration were going to receive a get-out-of-jail-free card. "We're going to support the sheriff's department any way we can," said Goetz, "but if you commit crimes that rise to the level of causing dangers to society and problems for us, you're going to be arrested and held accountable. We're going to lock you up." And continuing with coronavirus news, Pritzker pleads for retirees' return. State cases number 758, 8 Macon County tests completed. Governor J.B. Pritzker pleaded on Saturday for retired healthcare workers to join the fight against the coronavirus as Illinois' healthcare system braced for a surge of patients amid the pandemic that has now killed 6 state residents. Illinois confirmed 168 new cases Saturday of COVID-19, the disease caused by the coronavirus, boosting its total number of cases to 753. A 6th death was also reported as of Saturday, a Cook County man in his 70s. In Macon County, officials said no residents had tested positive for the disease, but stressed that hand washing, social distancing, and other measures were key for a virus that can be spread before patients even notice symptoms. 8 tests had been completed in Macon County by noon on Saturday. 6 results were negative. 2 tests were completed for residents of other counties. Those results were provided to and tracked by other counties where the residents lived, officials said. 3 new cases of the coronavirus have been confirmed in McLean County. 1 is a woman in her 70s with underlying health conditions and is currently hospitalized in the intensive care unit at a hospital. The 2nd is a male in his 50s, who has a history of international travel and is recovering at home in isolation, and the 3rd is a male in his 20s recovering at home in isolation, officials there said. Other area counties with cases are Sangamon, Christian, Cumberland, Woodford, and Peoria. Pritzker on Saturday asked for retired healthcare workers, including doctors, nurses, and physician's assistants, to come back and join the fight against COVID-19 hours before the state entered his stay-at-home order that will continue through April 7th. "We're in the middle of battle and we need reinforcements," the governor said during a Saturday afternoon briefing. Pritzker said the state would expedite licensing and waive fees to usher retired healthcare workers heeding his call back into the healthcare system, and workers whose licenses will soon expire will be automatically extended through September, he said. This is Hero's work, and all of you have our deepest gratitude for your willingness to serve, Pritzker said. The state's coronavirus cases could reach 3,400 within a week, the governor's office said. The first case of COVID-19 in the United States was reported January 21st, and the first confirmed case in Illinois, a Chicago resident, was announced January 24th. For most people, the virus causes only mild or moderate symptoms, such as fever and cough. For some, especially older adults and people with existing health problems, it can cause more severe illness, including pneumonia. As of 5 p.m. Saturday, Pritzker's order requires Illinois residents to remain in their homes, except for essentials, joining similar dramatic efforts in California and New York to limit the spread of the coronavirus. Residents can still go to the grocery store, put gas in their cars, take walks outside, and make pharmacy runs under the order. What's important now is to try to reduce the further spread and prevent the healthcare system from being overwhelmed, Ezeke said. Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot urged residents to stay calm and shop responsibly during a Saturday morning news conference. There's absolutely no need for people to rush to grocery stores or hoard any food or supplies, Lightfoot said. We are in constant communication with major retailers to maintain a strong food supply, and they have and they will. Everything will remain stocked and available. And next, Faith Goes On. Amid coronavirus, Faith Goes On at Decatur Area Churches. The staff and congregation of First Church of the Nazarene in Decatur miss each other, but the Reverend Adam Lewis said they came up with a plan that satisfies both social distancing and the need for community, drive-in church. With the governor's order to shelter in place, that idea had to be scrapped. The church now is offering online church services until further notice, with recorded services available on its website, dlnaz.com. That is probably d1naz.com. The 9 a.m. Sunday service was to be recorded with minimal staff present and was going to be played again later that morning. Recorded services are available anytime. The coronavirus pandemic that has caused positive cases to pop up across the nation has rocked the foundations of many American institutions. In Illinois, schools are suspended for weeks, dine-in restaurants are shuttered, and starting Saturday, residents are urged to stay home until April 7th. The order means employees for all non-essential businesses have to work from home. This is the first Sunday that houses of worship are operating under new guidelines, and it's causing them to explore new options for helping the faithful. Tabernacle Baptist in Decatur has offered streaming services for a while already, but now is streaming on Facebook exclusively at the usual service times. Every weekday at noon, the Reverend Carlton Binkley is providing a live message for Bible study, said Communications Director Andy Moore. We actually sat down and came up with a social media strategy, Moore said. Four times a day, we're posting to social media, to the youth page, or children's page, or main page. We just kind of came up with a game plan to minister and keep connections with people through social media. The live-streamed services will be stripped down to utilize as few people as possible, he said. For churches, the outbreak means a strong demand for answers. Many also are mobilizing to help those in need or out of work, but it also means fewer contributions. Churches across the country are coming to terms with how to proceed as various states put restrictions in place. The changes in Illinois accelerated last week. Last Tuesday, the Reverend Bill Greninger offered drive-through communion using gloves and sanitized plates at St. Paul's Lutheran Church. Communion was prepared so that communicants could pick up the elements themselves without his having to touch it or hand it to them. In this time, there's a lot of uncertainty, and we felt that the presence of God is needed even more than ever, and we're providing that through the Lord's Supper, he said. But then, state officials limited the size of gatherings to fewer than 50, and there were similar federal recommendations. The shelter-in-place rule established Saturday effectively shut down in-person services. Groups like the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship of Decatur have suspended services. Mass with a congregation present has been suspended indefinitely in the Diocese of Springfield for Catholics, but priests continue to offer Mass privately, and some are streaming online. Catholics have been released from the obligation to attend Mass until further notice. Since March 18th, all Masses in the Diocese of Springfield in Illinois have been closed to the public in an effort to curb the spread of the coronavirus. Priests have been offering private Masses with their personal Mass intentions being offered for the people. I ask our local church to embrace this spiritual sacrifice together with the intention of an end to the spread of the coronavirus, for the healing of those affected by it, and for strength for those who are providing care for the afflicted, Bishop Thomas John Papraki of the Diocese of Springfield in Illinois said. I also pray that this fast from the Eucharistic will draw us closer to our Lord and cultivate a hunger and new appreciation for the Blessed Sacrament. The Reverend Joe Malloy is holding online Mass daily at 10 a.m. and saying the Rosary daily at 1:30 p.m. on Holy Family Catholic Church's website, DecaturHolyFamily.com, and on the church's new Facebook page. It's important that people from the streaming can at least see their pastor having Mass, Malloy said. A priest is not obligated to have Mass every day, but priests want to celebrate that each and every day. It's something that every priest does, even if no congregation is there. It's a provision that a priest can have Mass with no one present because that's important for his spirituality, his affinity for the Eucharist. Easter and Holy Week services may not be possible, Malloy said, at least not with congregations present, but he will hold the services by himself if necessary. No decisions have been made, but it is possible that some of those events can be rescheduled for after the crisis is past. Meanwhile, people should read their Bibles, pray at home, and watch online. It's not the same thing, but it's the next best thing, Malloy said. St. Paul's is offering streamed church services at the usual times of 6 p.m. Saturday and 8 and 10:30 a.m. on Sundays, and to prevent requiring the praise team to come weekly to play and record music for services, set up a session on March 19th where musicians and singers recorded enough songs for at least a few weeks' services all at once. I think it's awesome that we get the opportunity to continue to praise and praise with those at home instead of just being a canned recording or something, said Laura Johnson, one of the singers. Things are changing daily, said Sarah Johnson, another singer, that not knowing what the next day might bring, it's a good idea to have music recorded instead of just in case. Should your key people that you need to be here for music not be able to make it, we'll still have stuff, she said. Watching the service online last weekend, Laura Johnson said helped but was very different from being in the same room together. I still saw the praise band and the songs we know, she said. I don't know how other people are, but I like to sing and I'm going to sing at home. Maybe other people don't sing because they're sitting at home with their family, but it was a comfort to me. I can still sing the songs and I can still see these guys, the praise band, singing it, that worship band that I'm comfortable with. It's different, of course, but it's better than not having anything at all. First Christian Church in Decatur has created several online resources for the young people in the congregation, said Heather Vance, Family Life Ministries Director. Pre-K and elementary will each have their own online service that we will post on Saturday afternoons. Elementary will post theirs at 2 p.m. and pre-K will post theirs at 4 p.m., she said. There will be a post that will take place Monday to Friday at 9 a.m. on our First Kids Facebook page. These posts will be videos, activities, or interactive elements for families. 6th through 12th grade students will have their own service online at 4:30 p.m. Sundays that will include worship, a game, and a teaching. Small groups that exist within that age group will continue to connect in whatever ways work best for them, such as Zoom or Google Hangouts. We will post pre-recorded video devotions on our Facebook, Student Life for middle and high school, and on our Instagram, FCCS Life, at 9 a.m. Monday through Friday, she said. We will try to connect our students via Facebook and Instagram with questions, activities, and prayers. And while not being able to meet in person for services is hard, Greninger said, and people are fearful and worried, the situation offers Christians an opportunity to serve and love their neighbors. I think it's an incredibly exciting time to be the church and to find new ways to love people, he said. And from further from the local page, suspect sought in robbery. Tony Reed writes from Decatur. Police are seeking a knife-wielding suspect who held up and robbed the CVS pharmacy located at 570 North Fairview Avenue in Decatur. Decatur Police Detective Sergeant Chris Copeland said the man threatened staff with the weapon before escaping with a quantity of cash around 7:31 p.m. on Friday. The robber is described as a white male, approximately 5 feet 10 inches tall, and wearing a black hooded jacket and black ski mask. Copeland said police are reviewing surveillance video and also appealing to anyone with information to come forward. Call 217-424-2734 or Crime Stoppers at 217-423-TIPS. And next, police say 6 spent shell casings found. From Decatur. Police patrol officers called to investigate reports of shots fired in Decatur late Saturday night found 6 spent shell casings in the 200 block of East Olive Street. Detective Sergeant Chris Copeland with Decatur Police said officers had been alerted to the gunfire at 11:09 p.m., and he said the casings were of .380 caliber, a handgun round. No one was reported injured, and there were no signs of property damage, Copeland said. And this has been Wendy Bauer with the Decatur Herald and Review. It is March 23rd, 2020. I thank you for listening, and I hope you all stay well.